Good morning, everyone. I want to thank everyone who is here to come and join us in worship today. I want to thank Sarah and for leading the worship with us. I want to thank Sarah Perot, who led us in the new type of prayer. I also want to thank our music director, who did an awesome job during our music camp, and all the families who joined us during the camp, the kids with the fabulous music. And I also want to thank you here and the ones who are joining us in worship through internet. I pray that this will be a time that God truly illuminates our heart as we open up our ears, eyes, and our hearts to God. So join me in a prayer that we open up our hearts once more to the word of our Lord. Let us all pray. Lord, we come to you in your presence, longing for your touch. May this time become a time where we experience you. May this be a time where we see how you are always with us. And as we see how you are with us, let us also see how you want us to live in this world, to be strong and courageous. We need you, Lord. Be with us and show us your ways. As we enter into your words, may us hear your voice. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be worthy in your ways and only in your ways. Lower me, and may your words be lifted on high. We pray this in your name, Jesus Christ. Amen. As you all are aware, we are in a sermon series going through the story of Joshua. And I believe as we read and reflect onto the story of Joshua, I believe that God will show us a clear direction of how we want to live and how God wants us to live in this world to become strong and courageous. We can become strong and courageous. It's not because we are powerful, not because we have all the answers, it's not because we have all the strength, but we only can become strong and courageous because we are with this God who is strong and mighty. And I hope that these stories will once again illuminate your heart to see how that strong and mighty God has never forsaken us and who is always with us and who always works ahead of us. So this story of Joshua, Israelites are going into the promised land. And as Joshua is confirmed that the great God and the mighty God is with him, there's one thing that we need to note of. There are some miracles that happened. There are three major miracles that happen in the living life of Joshua, where Joshua started to live according to God's command to be strong and courageous. I hope that you all remember the first miracle that happens before they enter into the promised land. God comes to Joshua and reassures him, saying that, be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid, because I will deliver you and I will fulfill my promise. And what happens? God gives Joshua the specific directions of how to enter into the promised land. I hope that you all remember the story, but I'll refresh you once more. It was the Levites who took and carried the Ark of the Covenant, and they went ahead of the people as God has been leading the people. And the people humbly followed the lead of God, the Ark of the Covenant. And the minute the Ark had entered into the Jordan River, what happened? The water stopped and it departed. That's the first miracle that they had experienced. The second major miracle is this. They were in front of Jericho, the wall, at the first obstacle of the promised land. God, like I said, there was a reason of that. God asked him to be circumcised, which is not a very right move or wise move to do at that time. They can fall into vulnerability. God asked them to celebrate the Passover meal once more, reminding them of the grace of God, delivering them from the Egyptians. And then also God asks and encounters Joshua, saying that I am the commander of the army of the Lord. And Joshua kneels in front of the army of the Lord, the commander of the army of the Lord, in full submission. And that's when God commands him to do something that is so outrageous. To circle around the Jericho once a day for 6 days. And on the last day, 7 times. And then what they do? They roar. And what happens? The walls came crumbling down. Right? But the third miracle that we see is something that is totally different from what we had heard or what we had read. I hope that you are all reading through our Bible reading schedule. I had many people came up to me and said how they are following up, how they're reading according to the schedule. I'm so thankful. Today, one of our members said, Pastor Sungsu, I've been reading and it's so violent. And I thanked her because regardless of the violence, she was still reading. And I believe that that is something that we still have to do. And I hope that you continue to do this. But the reason I'm talking about this is because this lays a good foundation of what God is doing on our third miracle. If you all remember, after the wall came tumbling down, God had made his name on high that all the people started to fear the word of God. Of course, there was a battle of Ai where the Israelites still had to come back into the mode of obedience because they made a disobedient act and they lost in the battle, and the second time God made them make sure that they win and conquered Ai. But this is a story where the Gibeonites were so afraid of the people of Israelites, they came and they deceived the Israel people saying that we are from a far, far away country and we want to be in friendly alliance with you. Joshua, without counseling the Lord, he accepts that alliance and soon gets to know that the Gibeonites had decepted him. The reason why I'm talking about this story is because the other 5 kings who were gathered around, who were living around in that country, did not like this. They did not like the way how the Gibeonites had made a friendly partnership with the Israelites. They were afraid of the Israelites, so they could not go and attack the Israelites, but instead, they conjured up some alliance, 5 countries as a matter of fact, and they, instead of attacking the Israelites, they go and attack the Gibeonites. And this is the story that we actually did not read from the whole chapter. When King Adonizekah of Jerusalem, and this is a Jerusalem that we all know as the city of God, but this king is not from the city of God, is not from God's city. And then he says, heard how Joshua had taken Ai and had utterly destroyed it, doing to Ai and its king as he had done to Jericho and its king, and how the inhabitants of Gibeon had made peace with Israel and war going among them. So this is how the story I was describing. And then he became greatly frightened. He, the king of Jerusalem, became greatly frightened because the Gibeon was a large city, like one of the royal cities, and was larger than Ai. And all its men were warriors. And regardless of how strong the Gibeonites were, they knew how powerful God was. And they became partners with Israelites. Actually, they became slaves. But this was something that bothered the king of Jerusalem so much. So that's when he went over and he sought up some help. So King Adonizekah of Jerusalem sent a message to King Hoham of Hebron, the King Piriam of Jarmuth, the King Japhia of Lachish, and the King Deber of Eglon, saying, come up and help me, and let us attack Gibeon. Not the Israelites, because they were afraid of Israelites, but they wanted to attack Gibeon. For it has made peace with Joshua and with the Israelites. So the peop- So the five kings and the Amorites, the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, the king of Lachish, and the king of Eglon gathered their forces and went up with all their armies and camped against Gibeon and made war against it. This is the background story of what we have been reading for the past week. So Joshua is now hearing a SOS and a cry from their new partner, the Gibeonites. And Joshua has to go out for a rescue mission. Joshua at that time is camping at this place called Gilgal, and they are charging toward Gibeon. And I wanted to show you and align you according to the map that we have. If you see Gilgal on the far left of you, that's where the Israelites were staying. And all the five kings got together and they went to Gibeon. And after a day, after hearing the story and after hearing the message, Joshua got all his people and all his warriors, and they actually flanked them in the back. But this is when it's so weird how God makes loves the number three. God gave three major miracles to Joshua: the one in the Jordan River, the one of the wall of Jericho, and now the one that we're looking into. But in this miracle, God has three other small miracles that all sums up this big miracle. God was ahead of the Israelites, and God made all the five countries and all the warriors of the five countries all in terror and all in panic. This is something where God went ahead of the Israelites and put them into a panic mode. When the Israelites came in and flanked them, they had no way to resist them. So what the five countries did, they fled all the way toward Beth Horon, Allen, and all the way down to Makkedah, where God actually gives another miracle, shows another miracle. This is when God threw large stones down onto the army. And it actually says, the ones that were dead by these large stones were far more than the ones who were killed by the Israelites. God was ahead of them, and God was in defense of the Israelites. And then this is where the third miracle happens, the third small miracle happens. And this is the reason why I want to highlight this third miracle. It says, Joshua spoke to the Lord, and he said in the sight of Israel, Sun, stand still at Gibeon, and moon in the valley of Ajion. The reason why Joshua wanted to have the sun and the moon stay at the place is because he didn't want to lose that momentum. If it becomes dark, they cannot finally defeat the five countries together. So out of nowhere, and I'll say it's more of a very courageous act of Joshua, he asks God, and he actually commands the sun and the moon to stand still. What is the difference? The first two major miracles was something guided by God. But the third miracle was something Joshua asked for. And we have to see this as a process, because when Joshua first was handed over to this leadership, he was frightened to death. He didn't know what to do. He did not have the courage to lead this country. But once he met God and he had been assured that God was with him and to be strong and courageous, and when he saw that when he followed the direction of God, God will actually work in his life, and when God has been revealing with all these miracles, that's when the time when Joshua was confident, knowing that the God who is strong and almighty would also listen to their request and also work upon their request. That's the biggest difference. But let me go back and ask you, how many of us live in this way? How many of us are confident that God will answer our prayers? How many of us are confident that God still works and miracles in this world? There's been a survey, and as you might have known, let me go back a little bit. When Joshua asked the sun and the moon to stop, stand still, it reminded me of what Jesus had done and what Jesus had taught his disciples. If you remember the story of Matthew, and also it's recorded in Luke, Jesus was out during the Passover, and he saw a fig tree that did not bear any fruit. And he actually commanded that fig tree by condemning, if you do not have fruit, you should wither. And the next day, the fig tree just died. And then the disciples, all amazed, and asked, how does that happen? And this is what Jesus had answered. He said, truly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but even if you say to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, it will happen. So going back to my question, do we really ask God for all these miracles to happen? Do we really have the faith that these miracles will happen upon our request? Jesus says, if you have faith, you will. But it seems like this culture and this nation has lost its faith. Like I was saying, I love surveys. So I'll try to dig up to any kind of surveys to make sure that this is a common idea of all the people. According to a survey conducted by HCD Research Center, surprisingly, 86% of the Americans actually believe in miracles. It is right. People think that there are miracles that happen in their lives. People had experienced another family member or friend who had experienced these miracles. But when you ask them, among these believers, how many do literally believe in miracles that happen in the Bible, only 48% of them believe that the miracles of the Bible are true. The other 52% actually answers and says that the miracles are more of a metaphorical story that gives us the direction of life. Why does this discrepancy happen? People actually, they believe in miracles on the common day miracles, the small things. But somehow we had lost to believe and ask in the miracles of God to reveal in a mighty way. And that's what I want to challenge you today. Do you believe in miracles beyond your understanding? Why do we not believe in miracles? I believe that there are a couple of reasons for that. Sometimes we compartmentalize miracle and science. We don't see that many miracles happening. We think that miracles are something that happened in the past, and miracles are something that we do not need anymore because we have advanced system of medicine. We have advanced studies of science. But that's one thing that I want to point out. This is just going on the sidetrack. Let's talk about when you get a disease. Is it right to just pray and not go to the doctors? Or is it just right to go to the doctors? I think neither is right. God gave us doctors and all the people who work in medicine to do God's work. And I am really grateful of those people. But at the same time, we should not only rely on them. We need to have a balanced view of miracles. I believe that leading us to the right surgeon and right doctor is a miracle. I believe that the doctor knowing our symptoms and making the right prescription, it's another miracle. I believe that those prescriptions working in our heart and our body, it's another miracle. And recovering is another miracle. We should not compartmentalize them from each other. We need to have prayer along with medicine. And when I pray for people who are suffering of illness, this is my prayer. I first pray for, this is an expression from Adam Hamilton, a grand slam out of the park miracle to happen in their lives. I pray for God to mightily work in their lives, that they will get healed supernaturally. That's my first prayer. But I also know that God had created medicine for a reason. So I also asked for a miracle of healing through the doctors and through the medication. And you'll be surprised if the medicine do not work in our body correctly, and if it's not the working hand of God to heal through those medicines, even medication and all these great facilities will not work. And that is a miracle. You might catch a simple cold. It may be a simple cough. There might be all these great brands that market that they are the best remedy in that area. But if God does not work in through that medicine and through that healing, whatever medication you get, it will not heal. So I ask you, this is something that I just have to share. Please pray and seek help together. Please pray before you go on to the doctors. Pray while you're in the doctors. And seek, ask God's governance and a miracle to happen through your visits. Sorry, I just sidetracked it, but I still had it. I had to talk about it. The third reason I believe that we don't believe in miracles is this: disappointment. You might have asked for something, and that might not have been revealed. You might have asked as a child for your parents not to divorce. Or you might have asked God that this marriage will work, and it didn't seem to work. And after that disappointment, when you ask and God seemed not to answer, you might have been disappointed and thinking that there is no miracle. You might have asked for a family member to get healed, and a family member might have just passed away. And it might seem like the miracle did not happen. You might have asked for protection over your child and something horrible happened to your child. It might seem like the miracle did not work. Those are some reasons why we do not believe in miracles. And that is the reason I want to challenge you to come back unto the way that God works. We need to go back. And we need to see what miracles are. Miracles are this. Miracles are God's redemptive plan to happen in life in our lives. God gives us miracles because God wants us to be saved and be a whole. Not only that the miracles are geared in our physical revitalization, I believe that the spiritual revitalization is much more important. Remember the story of the 10 leopards. They came asking for a miracle of healing in front of Jesus and Luke. Jesus asked them to go back and see the priest. And on their way back, all the leprosy had gone away. And out of the 10, only one comes back, and he thanks Jesus. And this is what Jesus says: get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well. The reason why I'm saying this is when that word says you made you well, it is a Greek word that says that has occurred 7 times in the Bible, which means saved you. And when Jesus said your faith had made you well, he actually meant that it made you a whole and it actually saved your soul. What is a true miracle? A miracle is not only a natural event that happened in our lives. It is not something that is supernatural that it just amazes us. I think the biggest miracle is when God turns our heart back so we will be saved. So the biggest miracle in Luke was not the leprosy being healed. It was that last person who came back to God and had his soul be completely healed and saved. God performs miracles in order for us to be saved. And the reason why I'm revisiting the meaning of miracle is because we might not see physical miracles happening unless us as believers have our soul completely saved and a whole with God. We need to have our soul totally committed to God. And as we walk with Christ and as we become true disciples, this is what I believe happens. God will show how God performs miracles in the life of others. If we focus too much on having that miracle happen to me, I believe that that does not happen that often. And that makes us feel disappointed about God. That makes us wonder if the miracle really happens. But if we go back and see if our heart and our soul are truly saved, and we start reaching out for others to be saved, I believe through that process, God will perform miracles that is a grand slam out of the park, miracle that you had never thought about. It's a matter of us becoming a true disciple first. And I have to say that that is the true miracle in our life. As we walk with God, you will see how those common day miracles will really work in your life and work in the life of the others. As I wrap up this sermon, I want to tell you this story. A story of mine and a story of another person. And I'll continue on talking about my story, that I truly believe that it is a miracle that I'm standing up here. And not that I testify it, I think my high school friends will testify for me. But as my soul becomes a whole, I started to pray for others souls to become a whole as well. And in that process, I have to tell you, I have saw some great miracles happening. There was this young lady. She was 26 when I first met her. One of her neighbors saw how desperate their family were in this process. And they knew one thing, that they needed Jesus Christ so desperately. This young lady actually threw herself out of a 5-story building to kill and commit a suicide. Somehow, it didn't work out. She was paralyzed halfway down, and the first day I met her, she was in a wheelchair. And I have to say it, her face was sucked out of life. There was no kind of light in her face. And when I first saw her, I have to be honest, I never expected that anything would happen. But we started to pray, because I know that Jesus Christ coming into my life and saving my soul and making me well and complete is the greatest miracle of all. So as a church, we started to pray for her. As a church, we joined in hands of praying for God to make a whole of her. A year later, she standed up without using a wheelchair. She was now stepping with a cane in her hand. Another year later, she threw away her cane and she just had a supporter on her knee. And actually, last month, she got married. And she is one of the happiest girls I ever know this time, because God had performed a miracle in her life. It actually started with a miracle of her heart. And when that miracle of her heart continued on, the miracle of her body had happened. As we look back into miracles, like I said, let's rethink what miracles are. The true miracle is Jesus Christ coming down to this world and dying on the cross and resurrecting as he conquered the death. And the true miracle is when we accept it and we fully commit ourselves to follow God. And when God makes our soul complete, I believe that is the biggest miracle that can ever happen in this world. But as we experience that miracle, let us also become a miracle that commits our life in helping and reaching out to those people who have a dent in their soul, who do not have that completion of God and through the cross. And as we reach out to them, and as we see how their hearts and their souls become well and complete, let us also see how God will perform a grand slam out of the ballpark miracle in their lives through us. And wouldn't that be awesome? And wouldn't that be something that Joshua had experienced to be realized in our lives? I truly ask that we will all live in that miracle. And let us join hands to see how God will work through us. Let us all pray. Lord, we might wonder, do miracles really happen in this world? Will we come back to you in obedience and in expectation, knowing if we humbly lay down our lives and our hearts to you, that you will work a miracle of completely surrendering our lives to you, a miracle of making our soul complete, and a miracle how you also reveal your redemptive plan in this world. So we ask for that miracle to happen in this church. If there is anybody who still wonders of the emptiness and the questions of their soul, I ask that you will touch them and you will remind them that you are the God who performs a miracle in their lives. And as they continue to see you in that way, let them also see in the worldly view and in the physical realm how you work a grand slam out of the ballpark miracle in their lives and the lives of the others they pray for. We want to be a believers of community, a community of believers who strongly believe in your working hand in our lives and in this world. So Lord, clear off all our doubts and may we see you working in miracle ways. We thank you and pray this all in your name, Jesus Christ. Amen.